And here we go, here we go!
You're listening to another episode of the Gingers Talk Football Podcast. Ready? Bringing you the hottest previews, picks, recaps, and analysis from around the NFL. Here's your hosts, two tortured fans, proud Gingers, and brothers from another mother. Literally. French Golden and Craig Fountain.
Welcome to Gingers Talk Football. I'm one of your hosts, Craig Fountain, here with my brother from another mother, French Golden. How you doing, French?
Dude, I'm doing good, man. How you doing up there?
Doing pretty well. Anxious to talk some football. We took a week off. Now we're back. And it's going to be another abbreviated episode. I think that in the off season, sometimes these 30-minute hitters are kind of the way to go, especially when schedules are tight and all that kind of stuff. We'd rather bring you a half an hour than nothing at all. So here it is. So this is our first show since the draft. What were some of your favorite things about the draft? Why don't you talk about how some of your reactions?
Yeah, man, of course. So the overall draft was a lot of fun to watch. It wasn't really a quarterback-heavy draft this year, which was actually kind of nice because we can kind of take a step back from that position and look at the other key positions that these other teams need. It kind of makes it a little more interesting, honestly, because when you have quarterbacks go there, like solid quarterbacks, it gets a little predictable. But a lot of fun draft. If our listeners are listeners of the Dogs Table, you guys saw us last Friday evening at the Brick House up there in Northeast Ohio. That was a lot of fun, man. That was a good time getting everybody together. Covering the draft, really, second to third round. So that was a lot of fun. But my overall reaction to the draft was, it was pretty interesting, man. There were some teams that really kind of really nailed it. There was some that didn't really nail it. Some of my favorite teams that won the draft, in my opinion, are going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles and the Jets. My three reasons why is I just think that the Jets, they got Garrett Wilson, they got Sauce Gardner, they got Jermaine Johnson, they got a really good first round draft for sure. And even going on to the other rounds, they got everything they needed. And I feel like, you know, on paper, it's somewhat of an improvement. The Jets got better. The Chiefs definitely, I think Sky Moore's are going to be a really good, sneaky wide receiver for the Chiefs. I know that Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, Juju, like I know, well, Tyreek, I'm sorry. I know Juju and Sky Moore don't really add up to what Tyreek Hill brings as value and talent to that team, but they did a good job of bringing in Sky Moore. They did a good job of hitting the other needs too that they need as well, because they are going to be AFC West, and the AFC West has pretty much gotten better since Russell Wilson entered that division. And also the touch on another team that I really liked a lot was the Eagles. I really like that pick they had with Jordan Davis at number 13. And I really like that they went aggressive and got A.J. Brown. You know, they were willing to pay A.J. Brown what he wanted. The Titans weren't. There it was, man. The Eagles pretty much solidified their you know, the other pretty much the wide receiver one with A.J. Brown alongside Devontae Smith. So those three teams really kind of stuck out to me overall for sure, man. What about you?
You know, in the first round for me, it was the Baltimore Ravens that stood out to me. Yeah. I think that they, I don't know if quietly is the right word, but they took two really solid guys in the first round. They were positions of need. They just happened to hit on some really good picks, if you ask me. First it was Kyle Hamilton. They took him at number 14, and they took center Tyler Linderbaum at number 25. So I think the Ravens did a really, really good job in the first round. And then, you know, to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, I think Sky Moore was the best pick of the second round, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. And I was really hoping for Sky Moore for my Cleveland Browns. You know, the Browns ended up trading back out of that round. So, you know, we can talk about that another time. And my mic is in view here, right there. Yeah, you know, that's what really stood out to me. Any head scratchers, in your opinion? Just like what in the world is going on?
Yeah, some of the head scratchers for me are, I think it's got to be New England. You know, Cole Strange, the center from Chattanooga, was a bit of a stretch or a reach per se. That was probably the biggest reach of the first round. Like as I was going through the first round and even the other rounds, I really look at the first round a lot, and I look at the Patriots and the way they drafted with Cole Strange in the first round. And then, you know, we did talk about this tonight. They took Bailey Zapp out of Western Kentucky. You know, Bill Belichick is notorious for flipping quarterbacks. And you can see, I think he's picked like, I think I saw a pretty crazy stat where it was somewhere between like 8 and 10 quarterbacks Bill Belichick has drafted with Tom Brady during his tenure in New England. You know, he just flips these quarterbacks for some reason. I don't know if he likes extra protection behind Brady, but I don't know. It was just kind of weird to me because they still have Mac Jones, and Mac Jones made the playoffs last year as a rookie quarterback and also made a Pro Bowl, really. Another one that kind of disappointed me was I really thought the Commanders shouldn't have left the number 11 spot in their first round. They got Jahan Dotson with a trade with New Orleans, I believe. And they am getting Jahan Dotson at number 16. But I just felt like, man, if they just stayed at 11 and they could have gotten Chris Olave, who a lot of people thought he was better than Garrett Wilson, who Garrett Wilson was the best wide receiver in the draft. I just wish the Commanders did that because I thought it would be some help for Terry McLaurin, for that offense, and especially for Carson Wentz, because they're in that division where if they can get stacked, it could be an easy one to win for them. Another one that I didn't really like a whole lot was the Bears. They had a plethora of draft picks. They didn't have any first-round draft picks, obviously, because they got Justin Fields last year. But I really thought they would use some draft capital to go back into the first round and get somebody for Justin Fields since they just lost Allen Robinson to the Los Angeles Rams. Those three teams right there, as I look at it, just were a little bit of head-scratchers to me. The Patriots overall, in my opinion, had the worst draft, but we look at the Patriots drafts in the previous years. They're never like stand out on paper. They just kind of work, but on paper, theoretically speaking, I think the Patriots had the worst draft, but I was really kind of disappointed that the Bears didn't go in and get somebody for Justin Fields because I'm high on Justin Fields. I think he needs more help, and I don't know. We'll see, but maybe they just didn't feel like, you know, giving all that draft capital away since they gave it away last year. So we'll see, man. What about you?
You know, for me, head scratchers, it kind of starts with the New York Giants for me. And that was them taking Wandale Robinson at 43. I know there's the Kadarius Toney rumors, and yeah. I think that, you know, if they're looking on to move on from him, like I get why they went wide receiver at this pick, but I'm not sure if he was the right guy at that pick to take, if that makes sense. You know, I think that they kind of reached for him. I'm not a huge fan. You know, thankfully, John Mechie went to Houston, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's not a super big reach. I'm proud of my Browns for getting value out of him. They turned that trade into Martin Emerson, Perrion Winfrey, and Katie York. So, like, if you look at John Mechie for those three guys, like, I feel like the Browns did a good job, but it's kind of a head-scratcher for Houston. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there's not a ton. I think if I had to pick one more that I'm not a fan of, it's Cole Strange out mm-hmm. of Tennessee, Chattanooga, going to New England. There's not a whole lot of guys out there with more footage of them getting just absolutely roasted. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what Belichick saw in him. How did your Jaguars do? How do you feel about their draft?
Yeah, the Jags had a solid, I would give them a solid like B+ draft per se. Obviously we can talk about the Trayvon Walker pick at number one. He wasn't my favorite. It was Aiden Hutchinson who I wanted because I just thought like just who he is, his intensity, and he was just I just think he's so ready to go. So the Detroit Lions got a massive number 2 pick out of him. So they just drafted over potential and physical attributes over right now, per se. Like, I don't think Trayvon Walker is a ready go now guy. He's a project player because he's not used to playing at one position in Georgia. He's all over the field on the defense, and they're going to want him to play specifically edge. So they're going to want to try to hone his craft, make him better. Long term wise, like, I think it's going to pay off as the number one overall pick. I hope so. The only reason I don't hope it works out is because it gets bulky out of town, which I'm okay with. Fuck that guy. Like,
I'm sorry. The team. Like, let's just take the L this year. Get him out of here. That dude's never going to be successful. I'm sorry. I hope I'm wrong because you guys are as tortured as we are. I mean, yeah. Granted, you were in an AFC championship game within the past decade, but, you know, I feel for you guys.
I hope for the best, though, man. I hope this pick works out. I mean, the way I looked at Balky's draft history in San Francisco, Trayvon Walker just pretty much lines up. My favorite Jags pick, though, was Devin Lloyd at number 27. So the Jags, they go into the first round, trade the Buccaneers for the 27th pick, gave them a few other draft picks later in like the third round, I believe, third and fourth. And they got Devin Lloyd. Dude is a monster at Utah. A lot of people had him at like number like 10, 11 as a top overall player in the draft. I think this is still getting him at number 27. I just think when the Jags saw him fall, they went back in and got him. I just think he's an athletic freak. He's going to really play well with Josh Allen and the other guys on that defense as well, too. I was a little confused by the Wyoming guy. I love the Chad Muma pick. You saw me. I was excited at the bar when they got that pick. But the same, like, because he's a freak linebacker, but he, it just was a little strange to me because I was like, okay, like, I like this guy a lot, but we just got Devin Lloyd in the first round. I also think Luke Fortner, the center from Kentucky, is actually gonna be a monster, I believe, too, for that line as well. But yeah, overall, good draft. I mean, they went a little bit more defensive heavy than I would like to. Me personally, I would have traded back, you know, whatever. You can find another edge in the draft. But you know, I would have traded back a little bit, get a solid wide receiver number one, man. Like, I just load that offense up with those guys, the talent for Trevor. But it is what it is. Can't control it. We'll see. I got a root for it, but I'm just hoping that number one pick does fall off too. Does pay off. I'm sorry, not fall off. I don't want that. Who was like your sneakiest best pick? Like, who was someone you saw, like, damn, that was a fucking good pick. Like, that team got a steal.
You know, for me, it's tough because I'm going to be so biased right now. There's two for the Browns that I did not see coming. Not see it at all. Now that it happened, hindsight 2020, like, I completely get why they did it. And one of them... A lot of people absolutely hate the pick. They hate the pick. I love it. I mentioned earlier that we traded away the selection that Houston took John Metchie with. And in return, we got a cornerback, which was a bit of a head scratcher because that was our first pick in the draft in the third round. And that wasn't a huge need for us. Turned out they traded Troy Hill. So that's why that made sense. But the two other guys they took, Perrion Winfrey, that was well publicized, massive human being, just a beast. Like, he towers over people. But that's not the guy I'm talking about. I'm talking about kicker Cade York in the fourth round. And if you Google worst picks of the NFL draft, he's surely on every one of those top 10 lists.
He was a third or fourth.
He was a fourth round selection.
Fourth. Okay.
Fourth round selection.
Look at the Bengals did last year, man. It does not hurt to take a kicker in those rounds, dude. Fucking kicker won them playoff games. So,
and they've got the confidence in this guy that they immediately launched both kickers on that were on the roster. He was 75 of 75 on extra points in college.
That's good.
I know, extra points, but most of these pro guys don't make every extra point. He's got a leg. He kicked in big games. He played in big games for LSU. I just think that the Browns saw the importance of special teams. Now, any higher than that, I would have been much more critical of the pick, but they felt strongly enough in the fourth round. I think that's an underrated pick. The other guy that we took in this draft was wide receiver David Bell with Purdue. Terrible combine numbers. If you go back and watch the tape, the dude has, it's like he's got glue on his hands, and he is an outstanding route runner out of Purdue. You know, outside of those guys, and again, I'm biased because I'm a Browns fan. Whew, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I don't know. Sneakiest good pick.
Yeah, I look like my one mine is Devin Lloyd, who Jags got out of Utah, but that's not the top one. That's one of them, but that ain't the top one for me. Do you have one?
For what?
For the sneakiest pick. Like, who do you think got the steal, man? Like, it could be anything, man. I mean, if you believe the Browns got the steal of the later rounds, go for it. That could be your answer. But I mean, let's talk about, we can get dense a little bit. Let's talk about the first round. Like, first round draft picks. Everybody, most people watch the first round. So who was the sneakiest first round steal?
If I'm going back and looking at the picks, and I'm going to pull up the list just so I don't misspeak.
Yeah, we got to be correct on everything. So yeah, good call.
All right. So, man, why am I having trouble finding a list? That's all right. All right. So you got the Jacksonville Jaguars opening with an edge. You have defensive players coming off the board until pick number six. And I believe six was offensive lineman Ekwonu, North Carolina State. He goes to the Carolina Panthers. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Drake London going to Atlanta. I think Drake London has bust potential. We'll see what happens with that. I really like, man, the Jets had such a good draft.
They had such a good draft.
A good draft. And you know what? My sneaky pick of the first round might be, here's what's tough about the first round. When you say sneaky good, like, I'd probably have to go to the guy that I mentioned earlier, which is Linderbaum. All right. The center went to Baltimore. The problem with saying that about the first round is, like, pretty much everybody is like, they're chalk picks. Like, none of them are sneaky good for the most part. The only time we're talking about somebody in the first round that really wasn't supposed to go there is if there's like an extreme reach. And usually those aren't the guys that we're saying are sneaky good. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the Raiders draft last year. We made fun of them pretty bad for their first round selection.
Yeah, they got a Leatherwood.
yeah. And nobody saw that coming. Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, they're all kind of chalk. I'm going to have to go back to Baltimore, to Linderbaum. They went center, even though they traded away Hollywood Brown. They went Kyle Hamilton. They went Linderbaum. And, I'm going with Linderbaum.
Linderbaum. That's a good one, man. I mean, even the Ravens traded up to go get him over the Cincinnati Bengals because he was projected to go to Cincinnati. Yeah, I know it's a tough question. Might be kind of a hard one to answer because I know, like you said, everybody that goes in the first round is pretty much first round talent. But I always kind of look at where they fall, where the value is of that team that needed this particular player. I kind of do a couple different things. I go into it. I think my first sneakiest player, well, second out of, I got two actually, but the first out of two is, I think, Daxton Hill, the safety out of Michigan for Cincinnati Bengals. It was no question. They didn't need a whole lot of help, but they needed help on the line in the secondary. I watched a little bit of his tape, him from Michigan, and he's very versatile, man. He can play multiple different spots in the secondary. That's a very good sneaky pick for the Bengals because they do have Von Bell. They do have Jesse Bates. They do have Mike Hilton and Eli Apple, which Eli Apple, I get it. But that team made it to the Super Bowl last year. And I just think adding Daxton Hill is just a very sneaky late first round pick that will pay off for the Bengals, I believe. But my first one might not come as a surprise, but just I wish edge wasn't such a big deal for the Jags this year. I would love to have this guy on my team, and that's Kyle Hamilton. I just think that He's a fourth overall player in this draft, a 6'4", 220. I'm like, my God, this is a big safety. His 40-yard dash time was like 4.59. It wasn't impressive as a safety who needs to, you know, collapse on the ball when it needs to be, you know, in the secondary. But I just think that's such a good, sneaky 14th overall pick, man. Like, I good for the Ravens, dude, because they're going to need help with those quarterbacks in the AFC North if, you know, with Deshaun Watson and with Burrow, and if Pickett or whoever, Trubisky, whoever the Steelers go with, ends up playing well, you know, they're going to need help on that part too. So I like Colin Hamilton. That's a very, very sneaky 14th overall pick. I just love it for some reason.
How do you feel about the Texans taking Stingley at 3 ahead of Sauce?
So actually, I actually don't mind it. That actually was something I had no problem with. I first heard about the Stingley to Houston rumor. I was listening to the Pat McAfee show the day before the draft. They announced it to where someone says Stingley to Houston. I'm like, well, okay. Like, I don't mind it because right after the Super Bowl, the Jags, people were having Stingley go to the Jags. Even before the Super Bowl, people thought that the Jags, if they didn't finish number one overall, like, Stingley could go maybe number two if the Jags finished number two or three. Obviously, the Jags finished one. But if Stingley didn't get hurt last year and deal with some injuries, the Jags needed a corner, man. He could have gone number one overall. He was a solid, solid talent for them, for the LSU Tigers. I think he'll pay off really well in Houston. I think he's a good corner because if you look at back his 2020 highlights, like it's phenomenal. I think he's a good corner. I thought Sauce as a cornerback at number four was appropriate place. I did think Stingley has a higher ceiling because he is an SEC guy compared to an AAC guy in Cincinnati.
All right. So draft wise, it's an abbreviated episode. We'll have all offseason to talk about the draft. Mm-hmm. There's kind of two things I want to talk about. We have 5 or 10 minutes until we have to call it a day. We have, you know, essentially we're recording this Tuesday evening. It's about 7 o'clock. So we have somewhat recent breaking news. Your Jacksonville Jaguars are being sued by Lambeau,
those guys.
Over Urban Meyer's behavior. is there any defending Urban Meyer?
No,
there's no defending Urban Meyer, but listen, it's not just about Urban Meyer. The Jacksonville Jaguars essentially, I mean, did Mr. Khan do anything wrong? Not really. Did the front office do anything wrong? Not really. I mean, let's be real, but they brought this guy in, they're responsible for his behavior. So they're getting sued. Josh Lambeau was reportedly kicked by Urban Meyer. And there's a long list of Urban Meyer issues. What do you think about this news?
Dude, so it popped up, good timing, man. It popped up right before we started recording. Sorry, I got a little thing there, a little hair on my mic. Yeah, so basically it all started, apparently this happened in August when he got kicked, but it didn't really come out till like November, December time when he got fired. I believe it was December. So the Jaguars they're firing him, and there's a very low-key case going on because they fired him for cause, but he's trying to say, hey, like he still owed his money. And that kind of carries over to the Josh Lambeau because now they have two lawsuits going on or two cases going on where they're going to have to fight a former player and a former head coach. You're right.
And they are. Clarify.
Go ahead.
To clarify, Lambeau is suing them for his base salary of $3.5 million. Reportedly, that's what he wants out of it.
Yes, he wants full payment of his 2021 season salary. Which honestly, man, if I'm the Jags, it's as easy $3.5 million, or just have Colin just sign write a check and go for it, man. Just because this is not worth it. Get it out of the way. This Urban Meyer thing could potentially be pretty tough. But I believe they're going through like the NFL court system. They're not going through, like, you know, the Florida Supreme Court, whatever the hell they want to call it. So I know they're going to go through the NFL. Roger Goodell, whoever NFL higher up, is going to make a decision on this. But I'm for just paying them, get that out of the way, and then just the Urban Meyer thing up front in his involvement, which he wants full payment, even though Jags fired him, you know, for cause. Because, so, dude, just Well, just if we can get this Josh Lambeau thing out of the way, I'm happy, because this is just another Urban Meyer memory. The more we can get this Urban Meyer shit out of the way, the happier Jags fans are going to be. It's just going to be like that.
Dude, there's no way this is the last one. There's no way this is the last lawsuit.
I believe you, yeah.
So, and I've got the Pro Football Talk article pulled up, and this is all over the place, but I'm just going to credit them because I'm going to read these quotes. These quotes have been published everywhere since it happened. But so the incident that happened was there was a preseason game before the 2021 NFL season. And Meyer walked up to Lambeau while he was stretching on the field, from what I understand, kicked him and said, "Hey, dipshit, make your fucking kicks." And then Lambeau told Meyer to never touch him again, never kick him again. Don't do that. And Urban Meyer said, "I'm the head ball coach. I'll kick you whenever the fuck I want." So, you know, this this should be pretty open and shut. He's alleging that they violated the Florida Private Sector Whistleblowers Act. So I'm assuming that, you know, he's saying he blew the whistle and there was some sort of violation in response to that. I don't know. But, yeah, that's a rough go. Anything else you want to add to that before we get to the other big story that came out today?
Dude, I'm afraid this is the last thing that Urban Meyer is. It's probably not going to be the last time we hear his name with Urban Meyer and the Jaguars together. So just, I don't know, man, just 2021 was a huge L. I'm just ready for the season, bro. I'm just ready, man. But yeah, we can go on to the other news, bro.
So the other news that happened today, and I'm pretty excited for this. Tom Brady is playing this year. However, he's already worked out a deal with Fox. All right. Basically, this goes into effect when he retires. And he is reportedly signing a 10-year deal with Fox, according to the New York Post. He's signing a 10-year deal worth $375 million. Now, the highest...
A lot of money.
Yes. Now, this in, you know, the... All right. According to Pro Football Talk, the highest paid guy, you know, already, Brady's going to more than double that. Troy Aikman makes $18 million per year.
Crazy.
And Brady's going to make $37.5 million. Now, a lot of people might say, hey, so what? Like, who cares? He's going to call football games. They're paying him a bunch of money. Tom Brady gets to decide every year if he's going to take a check for whatever the Bucks are going to write him, or whoever's going to write him, or the $37.5 million. Is this the most genius contract negotiation leverage that anybody's ever had? Dude, probably. Because he can say,
yeah,
give me $37.5 million or more, or else I'm out.
Yeah, because the Bucks could pay him $40 million a year, dude. Like, can you imagine this? Like, all this, dude, congrats to Tom Brady. Like, I didn't think he was actually going to do anything with football, really, when he retires. Also, we don't know when this contract goes into effect or when he starts, but hey, good for Fox Sports, man. They were able to bag him, really. I thought he would maybe go with maybe a Amazon, or hey, hell, Apple's going to try to get some rights to the NFL games. I maybe thought he may go with a newer, sleeker kind of, you know, broadcasting company. But hey, I like Fox Sports, keeps it around. I'm really excited to hear him call games, honestly. Like, it's gonna be interesting to hear his opinion. I mean, we love hearing Tony Romo's, but now we're gonna love hearing Tom Brady's. Like, it's gonna be a lot of fun, man. Like, you know, good for him. And I believe, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe after this year, if he plays one more year, say he plays one more year of this and he's done, he goes to commentating, his total career earnings in his 23rd season is gonna be $333 million total. So ultimately, he's going to make pretty much more in just half amount of time he's been playing in the NFL versus his commentating now. It's crazy, right?
Man.
That's a lot of money, dude. He's not even fucking
hit. That just shows how long he's been playing when you look at his career earnings. Deshaun Watson can retire today and essentially make almost as much as Tom Brady has throughout his career. Is that insane or what?
But you know what, though? A lot of quarterbacks who want all this money should look at Tom Brady like, okay, like he's made $330 million in 22, 23 years. He's won 7 Super Bowls. Oh, wait. And he's actually going to make him more actually commentating, but that kind of shows that, oh, hey, he actually takes pay cuts. Like, that's how you win Super Bowls. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see how those two, you know, graphics kind of line up where it's like, damn, he's making more just talking about football, man, just for a few hours a day. Dude, he's going to love it.
At the end of the day, people don't like how much money these guys make, but it is an entertainment industry.
Yeah. And I mean, they get what comes in, right?
They get, obviously if the money wasn't coming in, they wouldn't be getting paid. No. It's performance based. If you don't like it, don't watch. You're paying, you're contributing to those contracts by watching, by choosing Fox.
But easily.
You know, I have no problem with these guys getting paid. It's like, hey, if it's there, I mean, look at what musicians make. I mean, and they only get a sliver of their record sales. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. they make their money going out and doing concerts and stuff, but it's their own draw.
Yeah.
So same with the football players. They generate the revenue ultimately.
Yeah. And like, plus too, like with college guys now getting paid too, it's going to be interesting. That should be a good conversation for next time is like how getting this NIL deals done in college affects the money going into the NFL, because like beforehand, these guys, they were so happy to get that first check, those first real money. Most of them probably came from single parent households, didn't really grow up in the best places, but their talents got them to this point. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how these college guys are signing these deals or worth millions of dollars and they go to the NFL. And it's like, the money's just not as worth it. And does that make sense? Like, I'm curious. I really want to save this for another conversation, because I feel like that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. Absolutely. We'll do that. Yeah. Awesome. Absolutely. Wait, that's it for me, man. I mean, we covered the draft. We covered people kicking each other, not UFC. So yeah, good little episode, man. And for people who are listening, we're going to be doing these 30-minute episodes more often. When we get to the NFL season, we'll get some more time, you know, time block set. And we're going to be able to talk a little more because there's more to talk about. But just bear with us. We're still normal guys. We do this when we possibly can. So just thank you for hanging in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get this episode posted, and then stay tuned to our socials, and we'll let you know when the next episode is coming out. So that's today's episode. Thanks for joining. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Ginger's Talk Football. Subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on Twitter at Official Gingers. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Gingers Talk Football.